You're about to listen to the inspired teaching of Carly Terradez, recorded at a live event. Enjoy.
We're in lesson 7 last week. We're going to finish up lesson 7 today, and then we're going to go into lesson 8. Yes. You can send them to me by email right now, or you can hand in a piece of paper. Either way is fine. I'll be checking my emails at about noon today. So if you're in there, you're good. If you're not, sorry. Carly@awmi.net. Okay? All right. I'm going to start the class now, okay? So if you've got any more questions, then phone a friend. You'll be fine. Right. So last time we were into lesson 7, saying what you know. We're going to finish this one up, and then we're going to move into receiving what is ours. These two lessons blend together rather nicely, okay? And if we have time and we get through, we have any time for questions, that'd be wonderful. And if we don't, then you feel free to come see me afterwards, okay? All right, so the power of words. We started on this. I gave you some examples, but I want us to look at a scripture here in Isaiah 51. Let's actually start in Isaiah 50, because that would make more sense. All right, so we're going to go to Isaiah 50, and we're going to look at verse 4, all right? It says, "The Lord has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary." So you've been given the tongue of the learned, or if you're old English, the tongue of the learned, praise God, right? That you're going to have words. This is where, you know, the beginning of the course, we started talking about the power of the Holy Spirit on the inside of us and one of the benefits of praying in tongues. When we pray in tongues, it builds us up on our most holy faith, and it brings to us revelation, wisdom and revelation about things that we couldn't possibly know in the natural. Anyone ever stood up to do one of their talks for one of their college requirements and just felt like you know nothing, right? Your mind goes completely blank. Anyone ever been there? Right? Come on now. That happens to me regularly. And I've realized that is when I'm going to draw on the power of the Holy Spirit to bring back to my remembrance all of those scriptures, all of those things that I stuffed in there beforehand. Amen? The praise God, you know, Isaiah, he didn't have the Holy Spirit on the inside of him in the same way that we do. Right, so we have a little bit of an advantage, but even he has said that the Lord has given me the tongue of the learned that I should know how to speak. You know, in the scriptures in Peter, it says everyone needs to be ready to give a word in season and out of season to anyone who might ask what the reason for your faith is. Now, we're not all called to be evangelists, okay? I understand that, but we all are called to evangelize, right? We all are called to be witnesses for Jesus in this world, to be his hands and feet. And that means being able to effectively communicate the love of God that's flowing through you. And sometimes, if necessary, with words, right? You can communicate the love of God in many different ways, but words are very powerful. And praise God, even Isaiah says that he has the tongue of the learned, that we should know how to speak. Speaking and sharing and giving testimony and teaching might not be your first gift, okay? But we all have the ability. We have the Holy Spirit. We have a mouth with which to speak, and our words are powerful. So that really kind of cuts out some of our excuses. I know I wasn't very happy about that one either, you know, but there you go. Okay, chapter 51. So just moving across the page here, Isaiah 51 and verse 16, it says, "I have put my words," you know what, let's start back up a pin there, 15, because 15 is good. It's all good, actually, but let's start in 15. "But I am the Lord your God, who divided the sea, whose waves roared." Just think about that. I love that picture. "I am the Lord your God, who divided the sea, whose waves roared. The Lord of hosts is his name." This is the powerful, the Lord Almighty, and this is what he says to you. "And I have put my words in your mouth." The Lord Almighty that causes the land to be formed, that splits the sea, that makes the waves to roar and puts the planets and stars in space, has taken the time to put his words in your mouth. That's powerful, isn't it?
Yes.
You have something to say about that. You might not think you do, but trust me, you do. He took time to put his words in your mouth. "I have covered you with the shadow of my hand, that I might plant the heaven, lay the foundations of the earth, and say to Zion, you are my people." God has put his words in our mouth so that we might use them. You know, I was meditating on this one time, and the Lord showed me that his words in my mouth are just as powerful as if he'd spoken them himself. Think about that. Because when we speak the words of God, they're still the words of God. They're not somehow less powerful because they're coming out of our mouth. He showed me this picture that our words are like a freight train. Anyone ever seen the freight trains, that, you know, those huge, great big locomotives going down the tracks? They go so slow, don't they, when they're getting going? They seem like you could run alongside them and overtake them. It takes a little bit of momentum to get those freight trains going, right? But when they get going, they have so much power. It takes so long for those things to come to a stop. They have so much energy behind that locomotive. They are unstoppable. It doesn't matter what you put in the way of that locomotive. It could be a brick wall. It could be a whole house, a whole building. It'll just smash through the whole thing. Because, you know, our words are like that. This is what the Lord showed me. Our words are like a freight train. He has put his words in our mouth and they start to gather momentum. And when we start to get in agreement with what the word of God has said about us and planted on the inside of us, man, we start mixing our faith with the word of God. We become unstoppable. Unstoppable for the kingdom. And I tell you, it shakes every demon in hell to their very core, right? But it takes so much momentum to stop our words from coming to pass that we really have to try hard to mess it up. It's true. Amen? Because that's how much power they have. Our words are powerful, as powerful in our mouth as if God had spoken them out of his mouth himself. So here in your notes, it says, because of that, only speak the word of God into our situation. Think about what would happen if we started next time we had a trial or a crisis, rather than looking at the problem, we started turning it into a victory. We started speaking the word of God into our situation. What would happen? It's like firing up that locomotive engine, right? You might see the obstacles in the way. You might look down the train track of your life and see, you know, oh, there's a wreck, or there's a blockage, or there's a traffic jam, or there's an obstruction, or there's a broken rail. But you know what? We've got a locomotive worth of power on the inside of us. When we start to get in agreement with the word of God that he's spoken about our train wreck down the road, you know, we're just going to blast right through it. We become unstoppable because of the power of God that's on the inside of us. In Isaiah 54, verse 17, it says, no weapon formed against you shall prosper, and every tongue, this is the bit that people miss, right? Every tongue that rises against you in judgment, what? You shall condemn it. You shall condemn it. People are like, well, yay, no weapon formed against us will prosper. Praise God, I'm agreeing with that. Read the whole verse. Because it shows you how to apply that. Yes, no weapon formed against us will prosper. But every tongue that rises that's against us, that's contrary to what the promises of God say about us, every circumstance, every lie of the enemy, every negative doctor's report, every negative balance in our bank account, okay, that rises against us in judgment, against the plans and purposes of God for our life, we need to condemn those with our words. Amen? And then watch what's going to happen. I mean, I had the opportunity last week to get discouraged. I've tried being discouraged, okay? I didn't like it very much, okay? I'm just not going to go there. I'm just not going to participate, right? I had a negative report, a huge bill that came in, and you know what? Praise God, we have the money to pay that bill, but it's like, you know, I don't want to do that. That's going to wipe out a big chunk of savings, things that I could be doing fun stuff with. You know, there was a little part of me that was tempted just to have a complete on hissy fit. Anyone ever been there? Yes. Right? When you've been saving for something and then comes this bill and it's more than you thought it was going to be and you've got to be adult about it. That's not fun, is it? Adulting sometimes isn't fun. Okay? But I'm like, hang on a second. Man, this is going to be a testimony. Right? Praise God. No weapon formed against me is going to prosper. And I'm going to condemn that. You know what? I'm going to condemn that because my brain wanted to go where the devil was leading it. You know, it wanted to agree with the bad reports. Oh, yeah, it's going to be bad. Oh, yeah, you're going to have to change your plans. Did God really tell you to do that? Did you make a mistake? Because you would have known if you'd have been listening to him, wouldn't you? You would have known it was coming, right? You know, Joe's friends, right? Brain on overdrive. Shut up, flesh. There's a way to deal with your flesh. Tell it to shut up. Quit it. I'm not listening to you. You're like an angry toddler that needs to be just ignored. No. It's nap time. Go to sleep, brain. Quit. Turn off. Stop thinking. Sometimes the best thing we can do with our thoughts is just to quit thinking, amen. Right? God's given us a book full of promises. Let's start to agree with those. And any thought that comes to us contrary to that word, ignore it. because it's not going to replace the truth. So I started to get into agreement with it. Hang on a second. God knew this was going to happen. It wasn't a surprise to him. I thought I did hear him correctly. I did follow him exactly. Therefore, this is going to be a testimony. Amen? I'm going to declare victory on the other side. Praise God for this mountain. It's going to give me an opportunity to persevere. It's going to give me an opportunity to refine my hearing skills. I mean, pray, it's going to be awesome. I started to thank God and just preach myself happy. And you know what? He told me, prepare for rain. Prepare for rain. Amen? Because the first report is not the last report. First Thessalonians, I don't know why I went all there, but I think somebody needs it. Okay, 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 13. The word works effectively in you who believe it. Who believes in the word? Amen. Then it's working. Some of you aren't so sure. You're still sleeping. Who believes in the word? Amen. All right. Then it's working effectively because you believe it. You believe it. That's why it's working effectively, right? So when we speak the word of God into our situation, it changes things. I need an extra finger to turn the page here. Hang on a second. All righty. Oh, there's water under here. How nice. The next page is meditate on the truth and you'll naturally speak it out, because out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. Out of the abundance of our heart, our mouth speaks. Here's the thing. When I got that negative report, if I hadn't have first sown the truth in my heart and meditated on the truth, what would have come out of my mouth could have been something that agreed with the enemy. Amen. Probably would have done, right? When we're squeezed, what comes out is whatever we've put in there. I know, I mean, if you feed a small child junk food, I can tell you when you squeeze them real hard, the junk food comes right out again. Right? It does. All right? It's the same with our flesh. Okay, if you're gonna feed your baby thoughts, right? If you're gonna baby your little giants in there and have a little pity party, I'm just gonna nurture you, poor little sorry thing. You know, when we squeeze you, what's gonna come out is right? Poor little me. You know, and then you're gonna go find some friends to agree with you. Okay? But then you can't be asking God to change the circumstances, because by your very words you've sowed those seeds. At that point, we're just praying for a crop failure, right? We've sowed seeds and they're bearing fruit. The words of our mouth are that powerful. You know, when Hannah was sent home to die, basically, and we took her to that conference, she was 3 years old and she was on her last leg. She's attached to her feeding pump. She's asleep in the stroller. She's just in constant pain. All her hair's falling out. She looks like a little skeleton. You know, every now and again, my 4 and 5-year-old poke her to see if she's still breathing, okay? It was that bad, you know? You can imagine, as parents, you're watching this creature that you love with all your world, with all your heart, dying in front of you, knowing there's absolutely nothing you can do about it. It's the most heartbreaking scenario. And, you know, something happened in that moment, and God intervened. Amen? Jesus intervened, and there was a revelation of what he'd done on the inside of us. And we were in God, we'd listened to the Lord, and we were in the right place at the right time. And so when Andrew came and ministered to us, and he prayed for her in that stroller, we knew that she was getting healed. Amen. Because we knew what the word says. The word says, if you pray and you're in agreement, then this is the result. Right. So for me, it was a foregone conclusion. We were just acting out what we knew at that point. We just needed somebody to come alongside us and get in agreement with us. Amen? And so she was asleep when he prayed for her. And then, so, you know, she didn't know anything about it. And then he left the room. And you know what happened? On the outside, anyway? Absolutely nothing. She looks exactly the same as she did 5 minutes ago before he prayed for her. Exactly the same. Nothing had changed. She was, you know, still looking like death, right? But she woke up. And I did not know. Sometimes the Lord is so gracious. Sometimes you can just do things that are amazing by complete accident. I can't say that we were some super spiritual people that really thought this all through. Okay, but when she woke up, I said to Hannah, you know, Hannah, while you were sleeping, Jesus healed you. And she's like, oh, great, now I can eat. She's 3 years old. Okay, I had no idea the power of my word. I just told her what had happened. I mean, I'm a mama telling a daughter a story. Guess what happened while you were sleeping? Jesus came and healed you. Let me tell you, when kids are that young, they don't have unbelief. right? You're not going to get a toddler that comes to you and just ask you, Mommy, Daddy, can I trust you that you're going to feed me today? Can I trust that you're going to clothe me today and take care of my best interests and teach me everything I know in life? Can I trust you when you tell me that the grass is green and the sky is blue? Can I take your word at face value? Or do I need to go and get a second opinion? You know, children don't do that, right? They just naturally receive your words as parents with gladness. You can have some fun with that, right? I mean, you know, that's why, you know, children are so believing. You know, that's why you get these America's Funny Home videos where, you know, you've got the kids crying because the parents have made out they've stolen all their candy, right? And they haven't really, and the kids have a meltdown. You seen those? That's just mean. I mean, it's just like, that's child abuse. Don't do that. That's mean. Because little kids naturally are made to believe their parents. And in the same way, we need to have that childlike faith that takes the word of God and the promises of God at face value and says, you know what, my daddy told me, and I know I can trust him. I'm going to believe him. I don't have to question his promises, amen, because my daddy told me, right? And he loves me, and he ain't going to lie to me. So when we told Hannah, while you were sleeping, Jesus healed you, she just did what any other three-year-old would have done. Great, that's awesome. You know? Now I want to eat McDonald's and ketchup. Okay, McDonald's, okay? I don't know why, but all my kids called McDonald's McDonald's when they were little. It was the cutest thing. Anyway, okay, that's the power of advertising. She'd never eaten a McDonald's in her life, right? She couldn't chew or swallow at that point. But you know what? And so we just did what came naturally. And, we didn't think it through. We weren't superhuman, super-duper Christians. We were just everyday Joes that believed the word of God. Amen. And it worked for us, and it worked for everyone. Amen. Amen? Because God is no respecter of persons. But what we did in that moment was we spoke out what happened. This is why your words are so powerful. I don't know if Hannah would be here today if we hadn't have told her what had happened, because she wasn't going to get it by osmosis. We spoke it into being. And then what happened when it was lunchtime and we were hungry, we put action to our faith and we went and fed her, something that she couldn't do before, right? And then when 24 hours later and 12 hours later, 24 hours later, when the symptoms started coming back and she started choking, we could have been tempted to believe, oh no, that's the disease coming back. Well, it was nice while it lasted, but, you know, I guess she's going to die. You know, but we knew we'd been taught our authority. We'd read the word of God. By then, you couldn't trick us out the truth anymore, okay? Because we knew it, because we'd cemented it in our hearts and mixed it with faith. And so what we did, we used our words to counteract a lie of the enemy. Rather than getting into faith, we commanded those symptoms to leave her body in Jesus' name. We spoke to sickness and we told it to leave. We commanded her body to start digesting the food and the choking to stop. And you know what happened? It did. It stopped. It stopped, right? And praise God, 14 years later, she's still with us. Amen. Amen. She's alive and well. But we had to speak out that miracle. You know, there are different ways that God will speak to you. God will speak words to you. All right, God's written word or God's spoken to us from God. God's word in you. That's the fruit of the word. You know, when we read the word of God gets into our every fiber of our being. It goes down into our soul, it's in our spirit. We're carrying it around on the inside of us in places that you cannot see. There's God's word. That's what you're doing in Bible school, isn't it? You're sowing the word of God over 2 years, over constant meditation. You're sowing the word of God into your soul. Your spirit doesn't need it. It's already good. But you're sowing the word of God into your soul, and it's gonna prosper you. So God's word in you, that's the fruit of the word when we mix it with faith. And the last one there is God's word through you. When we're confident of what we have on the inside of us, when we're confident of who we are in Christ, when we start to really believe this word and mix it with faith, it's going to have some outward actions, right? That's what faith is. And that will come out in God's word through us in our authority. We will start naturally speaking out the word of God into our situation, just like I did with that negative report last week. We'll start speaking out our testimony while we're still in the test, right? And then what's going to happen is we're going to overcome, because the scripture says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. Amen. If you want to overcome, start speaking your testimony while you're still in the test. Amen? We overcome by the blood of the Lamb, by what Jesus has already done for us on the cross, and by the word of our testimony. In other words, by what we're prepared to say about what he's done for us. The word of our testimony, not somebody else's, but ours. Now, if you don't have a testimony yet in your situation, or you can't still see one, steal someone else's. It's okay. And meditate on that until you can picture yourself in the same, getting the same results, and then agree with that, right? Make it your own. So the word of God through us, that's our authority. In our words are powerful. There's a great scripture there in Matthew 12, 34 to 37. There's a whole chunk there, but I'll let you read that. It's in your notes. But it's talking about a good tree being known by its fruit. You know, whatever we sow in our hearts, we're going to see the fruit of that. So if you sow negativity to your flesh, you're going to see negative results in the physical. Sometimes we need to look at the crops that we've sown, what's been planted in our field. You know, I don't have to be there when the farmer sows the seeds in the ground to know what crops he's been growing. Okay? If he's got tomato plants growing in his field, I know he sowed tomato seeds. Right? If you've got negative stuff happening in your life, sometimes it's because you've sowed something in there that hasn't been good. Not always. All right? But if you likewise, if you've got good stuff growing in your life, it's probably because at some point you've sown some good things. Amen? So read that scripture, meditate on it, it's powerful. But we're going to move on to lesson 8, so we actually get to finish the course. How about that? Is that good? Because I don't get to see you all next week. I'm going to be sad. All right. All right. Next week I have a new class. All right. So receiving, but you know, you never forget your first love, so don't get jealous. All right. They're just saying. You've all been great. All right. Lesson 8, receiving what is ours. Words and speech are often the first indicator of a person's faith. I see this a lot in healing ministry. I'll let people talk. They'll come up to the prayer line or they'll come up from ministry and I'll be like, well, what can I do? What can I do for you today? Well, how can I agree with you? What's going on in your life? Tell me a bit about your situation. And I just let them talk. Just let them talk. You know, it's amazing what you'll hear that people aren't even saying. The Holy Spirit will reveal things to you and it'll fill in the blanks. If you just let people talk long enough, you'll hear their heart speaking. But words are often the first indicator of a person's faith. If somebody comes and says, well, I just hope I'm, you know, I'll ask them, what are you expecting to happen when we pray? Right? Well, I'm hope I'm going to feel better. I'm like, well, I don't do hope. I do faith. So how about when I pray for you, this is what's going to happen. The pain's going to leave, the limb's going to straighten, you're going to be able to bend, your eyes are going to open, you're going to be able to see, deafness is going to leave your body, you're going to be able to hear. How about that? Oh, I like what you said. Okay, then we're going to come into a place of faith and agreement, right? But when you let people talk and you listen actively, you'll hear what their heart is saying to you. And it's often a first indicator of their faith. You know, we're moved by words, right? Even the world understands the power of words. Otherwise, you've got all these media companies out of there. If I asked you to, if I come up with a list of different, a picture board of different slogans, you could tell me without a word on there what their catchphrase was, right? If I said, what's the it's a sports manufacturer and they have a big check mark, a big tick. Just do it. Nike. Just do it, okay? Nike, right? Oh. Right? So you know that because words are powerful. That's why they have these taglines in marketing. They move us. They cause us to do something. That's why they have so many commercials on television. Awful things. Turn them off, right? But the world recognizes that words move us. When I was a little girl, we were taught in school, and now they have anti-bullying everything. Everything's anti-bullying. When I was in school, it was like, just suck it up, buttercup. Get on with it, okay? Right? You know? And they used to say, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. That's a bunch of crock, isn't it?
Yes.
It really is. You know, because I can tell you, I got beaten a few times and those bruises healed, but it's the words that people have spoken over me, those negative words, they take a whole lot more effort to root up out of your heart than a bruise ever will. Right? Words are way more powerful than even physical injury. And so, there's plenty of examples in the scripture about the power of words. Jesus sowed the word in the parable of the sower in Mark 4, verse 14 and 15. You know, he says he was a sower. The sower sowed the word. The farmer, you know, he's sowing the seed, and the ground in that parable is our heart. Now, the word of God being the seed, it falls on different types of ground, the four different types of ground in that parable. It's fascinating. You should study that one. But, you know, when the enemy, being the birds of the air, or even weeds and different things, the birds of the air specifically, it says that the enemy, the birds, came to snatch up the seeds that were laying by the wayside, that were laying on top of the soil, right? Those seeds of the word that hadn't impregnated the heart. All right, the ground being the heart. They hadn't gotten below the surface. They hadn't gotten below the skin level. The enemy came quickly to snatch up the word. The enemy even knows the power of the word. That's why he comes to steal it from us. I had a person in one of my classes one time. I was actually teaching on the story of the father and the epileptic son. Okay, and it was brilliant. It was like case in point right there. It was so much fun. But I was teaching on this passage and the way that Jesus dealt with it. And this guy in the middle of my class, he was in the center section, just started to have a seizure, right on cue, in the middle of me teaching about the story of the epileptic son. I'm like, this is awesome, because we were talking about our authority. So I'm like, this is fabulous. It couldn't have happened at a better time, right? Not, I mean, I felt bad for him, you know, but it was great. It was great. Object lesson, yes, thank you. Great illustration. And so, you know, I walked down from the podium and went down there, laid hands on him, immediately spoke to it, and he just stopped. He just went limp. And he woke up like, what just happened? I'm like, you just got delivered from epilepsy. Congratulations. Amen. Okay? Praise God. The enemy overplayed his hand. But you see, what the enemy was doing in that moment, he was trying to steal the word from the other people in the classroom. You see that? He was just trying to cause a distraction. Yes. That's all he was doing, and he used this poor individual to accomplish that, okay? But the enemy knows the power of the word, and that's why he came to steal it. When Jesus was tempted by Satan, okay, so Jesus is, he's taken away, taken away 40 days. Actually, I don't know if we've got that in your notes somewhere. Let's see if I'll find it. You know, I think it's just going to take too long to get there. Okay, it's going to take. I'll just paraphrase. Basically, Jesus is taken away, and the devil's having a go at Jesus, and he's like, you know what? We're going to test. I'm going to test you. You know, you're starving. You've been fasting for 40 days, Jesus. And so, you know, if you really are who you say you are, if you really are the Son of God, then turn these rocks into bread and eat them. Right? You've got the power to do that. Or how about, you know, if God really does love you, you know, if you really do have all this authority, how about you throw yourself off the building and let the legions of angels come catch you, right? But what was Jesus' response to Satan? It is written. It is written. Even when Jesus was in a trial, he didn't cool down. He didn't do anything beyond what we already have. You understand that? This is what I want you to see from this. He referred back to the word of God. He fought the enemy with scripture. He didn't write something new and just say, hang a second, I want to make a little addition to the gospels here. Take notes, okay? You know, this one's a special problem and you're going to need your special assignment for this one. Okay. He just used words that were already in scripture. It is written. It is written. It is written. Three times. He didn't use any power within him that we don't have within us. He used words. They're that powerful. You know, it even says in the scriptures, the word became flesh and dwelt amongst us. This is what I want you to understand about Jesus. Not only was he 100% God, but he's 100% man. In other words, he had to be spoken into creation. Jesus himself had to be spoken into creation. He had to be prophesied, okay? When God created the world, what did he do it with?
Words.
I always think that's really fascinating that, you know, he created the world and everything, and then he made the night and the day. I'm like, you did it all in the dark. Have you ever thought about that? You created the world in the dark without my help. Shocking, right? I need to remember that when I have my little problems in life or my big problems in life. Don't worry. God's promises are big enough even for that. If he can create the world in the dark without my help, he's got this. He's got this, okay? He can figure out how to pay your tuition. He's got this. He knows how to heal you, right? He's already provided for you. In fact, that's why it's called provision, because it's already gone before the vision, right? He's already done it. Provision, you get that? Some of you are just catching up, okay? It's called provision because it goes before the vision, all right? So God spoke the world into creation. He created things himself with his word. He even had to create Jesus with his words, right? That's how powerful words are. And yet God says, I have put my words in your mouth, right? More than enough power to raise the dead, heal the sick, or cast out any demon and heal. So we were created with words, and we too create with our words. So therefore, we have to understand the responsibility of our words. Amen? And make sure that the words that we speak, like those seeds of the word that were sown by the farmer, land on good ground and are good seeds, because we want to have a good harvest. You know, when I was in Bible college, I had a friend of ours, and she became the confession police. Anyone ever met them, the confession police? They're really dedicated. But, I mean, you know, we'd been on our feet all day, and I'd be like, God, my feet are killing me. Oh, don't say that. My feet are killing me. Don't say that. I mean, would you think my feet are really going to wrap around my neck and start strangling me? Like, it's ridiculous, okay? So you also have a brain, all right? You have a brain. But we need to take the word of God that he's planted in our hearts, take the word of God that he's written and spoken to us, and speak life into our situations. You know, we take those words off the page, we put them in our heart, we choose to believe in them. That's what it means when you're mixing the word with faith. If you don't mix the word of God with faith, as it says in Hebrews, it will profit you nothing. Right? Sometimes we get stuck there because we're saying the word of God, saying the word of God, okay? But it's not abracadabra. We have to actually believe it. In 2 Corinthians, it says we believe and therefore we speak. We don't speak in order to parrot fashion in order to make ourselves believe. Does that make sense? All right. Speaking the word makes us bold. Let's look at this scripture. This one's a good one. I definitely need a third hand. That would have been very helpful. I shall be talking to the Lord about that. When you designed women, I think there was a fault. I think a third hand would have been very helpful. I mean, octopuses have 8 tentacles, right? Imagine how much they can get done. Okay. So Psalm 138. I know, sometimes I go on these little rabbit trails. I'm like, what am I talking about? Psalm 138, verse 2 and verse 3. I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all of your name. God even places his words above his name. Anyone ever seen somebody, the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, when they're praying for someone? Yes. What is that? I mean, seriously, that's a religious goof right there. Jesus is not freaky, people, and he sure isn't deaf, okay? In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. Who are you trying to convince? Yourself? The demons? What is that? Yourself. He heard it the first time. He's magnified his word even above his name. I don't diss in the name of Jesus before you start writing me letters, okay? Goodness sake. In the day when I cried out to you, you answered me and made me bold with strength. Where? In my soul. This is really important. When we start to magnify God's word, it makes us strong in our soul. When we start to speak the word of God out, you know, our spirit is sealed. Right? Our spirit is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Amen? We are one-third Holy Ghost on the inside of us. It's our stinking thinking that's the problem. It's our noggin up here. We're all our, you know, and our heart, our mind, our will, and our emotions. That is what comprises our soul. Our flesh just follows along. Our flesh doesn't think. It just goes along with whatever our soul is thinking. Okay? But, you know, when we start to agree with the word of God and speak the word of God into our situation, it makes us strong in our soul, in our thinking. It changes our thinking so that it can produce life and peace. He whose mind is stayed upon the Lord is kept in perfect peace, Isaiah 26:3, right? Kept in perfect peace. Let's look at First Joshua 1 verse 8 here. I love this passage of scripture. I'll put it in your notes. It says, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage, do not be afraid nor dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. All right? So I want you to know a couple of things about this. It's easy to breeze through scripture without necessarily having the full impact of it, right? You know, our English language is somewhat limited compared to the original text that it was written in, the language that the text was written in. But this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. That word mouth means a whole lot, more than just the hole in your face. It actually means to speak it as in a commandment. It means to speak it as in a commandment. So you could put in there, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. Speak it as a commandment, and you shall meditate. The word meditate there means to speak, study, utter, or roar like a lion. So you speak the word of God from your mouth, roar it like a lion with authority. Speak it as a commandment. Study it, utter it, roar it out. Man, that's a whole different picture, isn't it? Than just reading the word of God, reading the word of God, reading the word of God. It shall not depart from our mouth. We are to take it and speak it with authority. And then, as you may observe, to according to all that is written in it. When we speak the word of God with authority, something happens. Our words make a path for the power of God to flow through. Think about this. Our words carve a valley in the mountainside. Our words are like the freight train going down the track that push all of the garbage out the way, right? That break through any obstacle. Because our words create a channel for the power of God to flow through. And it says that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. When we start speaking the word of God, we then become able to do everything that's in it. These works and greater works than these. Is that powerful or what? All right? So it says, for then, having done all these things, it's like a formula. If anyone ever wanted a formula, it's written out here for you. I know some of you built that way, okay? For then, in other words, that means as a consequence of these former actions, by doing these things, you will make your way what? Prosperous. And you will have good success. To be prosperous actually means to study, speak with authority the word of God. So there it is again. You will make your way prosperous. If prosperity is something that you feel you're lacking, right, you aren't lacking it, you just got to appropriate it, right? You make your way prosperous. You make your journey prosperous. You make your life prosperous by doing these things, by speaking, studying, uttering, and roaring with authority the word of God that is written. Amen? Can we do that? Yeah. Sure we can. All right. So how does this, I don't know why I've got that in there. How does this relate to healing? I guess it's because I relate everything to healing. Okay. But you know, you could put in there whatever situation you've got going on right now. But words are how we release the power of God into a situation, whether that's a body, you know, a physical body, a physical flesh. It could be a relationship. It could be, you know, whatever life circumstances it is. Okay. Our words are how we release the power of God that's on the inside of us. Isaiah 55 verse 11 says, so shall my word be that goes forth from my mouth, it shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. Your words do that because God has put his words in your mouth. Remember, this applies to you too. This is actually following on from the previous couple of chapters that we started out with. This is Isaiah 55. What do you say, Isaiah? Okay. I'm just teaching you English at the same time. You never thought you were going to get that, right? Okay, Psalm 107, verse 20. He sent his word and healed them and delivered them from their destructions. And there's that scripture, Revelations 12, verse 11, that says, and they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and the word of their testimony. Okay? In Deuteronomy 30, you know, I actually believe we're going to get through the end of this lesson. Hallelujah. I don't know if I can speak any faster, but I'm trying. Okay? I know, right? You got to get it by a word of knowledge or something, haven't I? Deuteronomy 30, it says, we can do whatever we are prepared to say. What are you saying about your situation? What are you saying about your future? I know what the Lord says about your future. He says, I have good plans for you, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, a good future and an expected end. Amen? So are you saying the same things about your life that God's saying about them, right? If not, maybe that's why you're not getting the results you want, right? Let's start getting into agreement. In Deuteronomy 30, verse 11, it says, "For this commandment, which I command you today," it's not too mysterious for you, nor is it far off. This isn't airy-fairy, people. It's not in heaven that you should say, "Who will ascend into heaven for us and bring it on down, that we might hear it and do it?" This isn't game show, Jesus. Come on down, okay? Right? He's already come on down. "Nor is it beyond the sea that you should say, 'Who will go over the sea for us and bring it to us that we might hear it and do it?'" No, we're not asking somebody else to do something for us that we can do for ourselves. Think about that. I'm training my teenagers in this, right? Stop asking me to do stuff for you that I've already shown you how to do it. You fix it, right? You pray, you speak, you believe, because I've put my words inside of you. Now, it's not a problem. You know, we have Christian brothers and sisters because they come alongside us and they get in with us for a prayer of agreement. That's powerful. We all need somebody to hold up our hands when we're getting weary, right? But we don't want to stay there. We want to come to the place where we can get everything we need, all life and all power and all peace from the source. Unadulterated Jesus on the inside of us. Amen? So we don't want to be baby Christians. But it says in verse 14, it says, "But the word is very near you." The word is very near you. It's in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. That you may do it. He has inscribed his words on our heart. The word of God is Jesus who lives in us, but our part is to open our mouths and speak out that word. In verse 19, it says, in that same passage, he says, "I call heaven and earth as witnesses against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing." Therefore, he even gives you the answer. Choose life. It's like a multiple choice, but he's given you the answer. "I've set before you life and death." And by the way, if you didn't know the answer, choose life. That's the good one, okay? "That both you and your descendants may live, and that you may love the Lord your God, that you may obey his voice and may cling to him, for he is your life and the length of your days." Amen. That's powerful. So our speech is a channel for the power of God. When we sow the word of God into our hearts, it becomes our defense against the enemy. Just like with Jesus when he was tempted by Satan. I don't really like that phrase, tempted by Satan, because I don't think he was really tempted by Satan. Yeah. I think he just had an opportunity to be if he chose to be, right? And he chose not to be. Praise God. But you know what? When he was in that position, he had an opportunity. He could have responded like any regular guy would have done. Could have done. He had a choice. He had a choice to not be tempted by the devil. You know, in the scriptures, it says that in every temptation, I can't think of where it is, in every temptation, the Lord will give us a way of escape. In every temptation, we have a choice about our circumstances. Yes, even in addictions. And I know they're powerful, and I know they're destructive, but even in that moment, we have a choice. He gives us a way of escape. And by sowing the word of God in our heart, what that does is when we're squeezed, when we're under pressure, if we've sown the word of God in our heart, what's going to come out is the word of God. Amen. Anyone ever seen Pastor Lawson Perdue preach? Yes. He is like a walking dictionary of scriptures. I mean, you squeeze that man, out comes a scripture. There it goes, right? I mean, seriously, he's like a scriptural slot machine, right? He's sown the word of God into his heart. And the outcome, and it comes, and that's his defense against the enemy. Proverbs 4, verse 23 says, "Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life." Out of it spring the issues of life. We need to keep our heart. That word keep actually means to set a guard around, like a watchman, okay? We need to keep our heart with all diligence. So in other words, be careful the types of things that we allow into our hearts. You know, when we have, when we're walking in a healthy relationship with the Lord, when we're consistently meditating on the scripture, when we are sowing the word of God in our hearts, when we are praying in tongues, when we're part of a fellowship of believers, when we are sowing into our soul good things, right? It's going to help us to place that filter over our heart so that when negative things come along, we're going to recognize them as a lie and not receive them. Right? When I was a little girl, it used to be we had a big sycamore tree in the back of our garden, and it used to be my job to go out there and pick out the little sycamore trees, the seeds that come down like their little helicopter spirals, and they land in the lawn. All right? And if you don't pull them out when they're small enough, you're going to have to get a shovel and dig them suckers out. Okay? And I soon realized I needed to weed the garden of my heart when them things were small. We need to weed the garden of our hearts when those little seeds of doubt, those little insecurities, those little lies of the enemy that come knocking on the door of your heart, then are you going to let me in? No, you're a lie. I'm not letting you in. You know how we can do that? If I use the John 10:10 rule. For Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly. Is the enemy that comes to kill and steal, right? He comes to kill, steal. And that's what he does. He's after us. Okay, but if we measure those thoughts up to the John 10:10 rule, we say, is it good? Then it's from God. Is it bad? Then it's from the enemy. If it's ugly, it's probably from our flesh. Okay, the good, the bad, and the ugly. Measure those thoughts up to the John 10:10 rule, and it will help us to filter those thoughts before we allow them into our heart. This is really important, people, because like I said at the beginning of the class, you know, that lie, sticks and stones will break your bones, but words will never hurt you. No words you'll carry around forever if you don't deal with them. Those lies that people, that the enemy has spoken over you, you can't do it, you're a failure, you're a reject, you're not good enough, you're abandoned, you've got no hope and no future, those lies that breed insecurity, if we allow them to fester in our heart and we don't deal with them, those lies will start to affect how we think about ourselves, our identity, and we're going to struggle to see victory in areas of our life. Because they will place a filter over our heart where we even struggle to receive the love of God. You know, when people get to that point where they have such low self-esteem that they don't love themselves. They don't love themselves. They find it hard. The filter of their heart has got so worn away, so damaged over the years by the lies that they've absorbed into their heart, probably through no fault of their own, that they don't know how to think in a healthy way. We can start, if that's you, I'm going to want to pray for you at the end, but I tell you, we can start to reset how we think about things. Because when our thinking is healthy, our words will be healthy. And one way to make our words healthy is to start recognizing the lies and replacing them with the truth that's in this word of God here. And even if we don't feel very warm and fluffy, even if we don't feel very happy or very peaceful, we can refuse to start using our words to cooperate with the lies of the enemy. We can refuse to speak doubt and unbelief over our situation, and we can commit to only speaking the word of God into our situation. Amen? And let me tell you, when we start to meditate on the word of God, to speak it, study it, utter it and roar it like a lion, okay, we're going to start to see walls come tumbling down. We're going to start to see victory in every area of our life. We're going to start to see bondages being broken and doors of opportunity opening for us, right? We're going to start to see breakthrough in areas that we've been struggling with for years. Because for the first time, we've taken the word of God. We've mixed it with faith. We've planted it in our hearts. And we've gotten our words into agreement with the promises of God. And we're going to start to see the promises of God in every area. Do you believe that?
Yes.
All right, can I pray for you?
Yes.
All right, hallelujah. Hey, Ashley, come on up here. This is my wonderful husband. We're going to pray for you. If you have to go, you have to go. Come on up here. But we're going to pray for you. And Father God, I just thank you for, you can speak it great enough to share. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you, Lord, for these brothers and sisters. I thank you, Lord, that you have blessed them beyond every spiritual blessing in heavenly places. I thank you, Lord, the Holy Spirit, that you make these words, these things that we've been studying over the past weeks, just cement them in their heart, Holy Spirit, and help them to become rhema to them. I'm seeing breakthrough, Lord. I'm seeing breakthrough in the hearts of believers, just minds being set free, shackles coming off. Father God, we believe your word, and we agree to speak in every of our life today. Thank you, Lord. We receive these words that you have given to us, you have spoken to us.
Amen. Right now, I speak prosperity over every person in this room, in every area of their life. And I thank you, Lord, you have good things for us, only good things for us. And every person who can hear my voice, Lord, I pray they'd receive good things from you, that those lies would come down in their hearts, that their thinking would change to line up with the word of God. And I thank you, Lord, this is the year of breakthrough for these people right here listening, for ourselves included, Lord. We want everything you've got for us, Lord. We want it all, Lord. We want all your promises. We want all your gifts. We want every opportunity, every door open that you've opened for us. We want to walk through, Lord. We don't want to miss one thing that you've provided for us, Lord. So we want it all, Lord. We're greedy Christians for your promises, Lord, because you've provided it. You paid the price for it. And who are we to say no? No, we are people that say yes. We say yes and amen. In Jesus' name, we say yes and amen to every promise you've provided in his name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord.
Amen. I just believe that there are people here that need to receive healing, okay, that you've been dealing with some physical issues for a long time. So we don't have a lot of time. I know it's brave, but I'm going to speak a blanket prayer of healing over you. Is that okay? If you want to participate, you better stand up now. Okay, if you can't stand up, then you're going to take the power of God to get on your feet. Father God, I just thank you. I thank you for healing manifesting in these bodies right now in Jesus' name. I speak physical release of the power of God flowing through their flesh in Jesus' name, touching every cell, every sinew, every marrow, every muscle, every nerve in these bodies. We speak life and peace to you, and we command you to be as you were created to be right now in Jesus' name. Right now in Jesus' name, I just see eyes being healed, vision clearing up, sharpening of vision. I see floaters disappearing and cataracts coming up, peeling away. I thank you, Lord, for freedom from glasses. Freedom from glasses. The Lord is saying, you know what? If you've been living with something too long, you've been living with it for too long, I've got better for you. Amen. I've got better for you. Don't think something's too small for me. I've got better for you. So I just speak right now to eyes. I command healing, 100% clear, 20/20 vision in Jesus' name. You're going to be able to see far. You're going to be able to see near. You're going to be able to see every microscopic detail that you couldn't see before. We're releasing the power of God right now. I'm just hearing joints. Joints, there's inflammation that's been healed. Arthritic condition, sore, injured. You know, somebody's injured something, a limb at some point, a muscle at some point, and they feel like, well, it's self-inflicted, and therefore I'm not a candidate for healing. The Lord's saying, you're living in condemnation. I've paid for it for you too. I've paid for it for you too, right? So I speak healing into joints, into muscles right now in Jesus' name. We just command all kind of disease to leave, joint diseases to leave, arthritis, you leave, cartilage, you become formed. Where there was no cartilage, we speak cartilage into creation, a creative miracle right now. We command pain and inflammation to leave these joints, strained muscles to become relaxed and peaceful. We speak peace to your flesh. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. We believe these things. I see pancreas is being healed. Someone's got an issue with their pancreas. Maybe it's diabetes. But I just speak life into that pancreas right now in Jesus' name. We speak insulin production. Amen. We speak enzyme production. We speak thyroxine production right now for people who've got thyroid conditions. You're being healed right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Them organs are coming back to life. Those cells are coming back to life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. You believe and receive?
Yes.
Oh, you got it. Go get him.
Amen.
This concludes this teaching session. If you would like any further information, find Carly on Facebook. And remember that you are blessed.